Al, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Now, how exactly has the transition been from pivoting this quite interactive event into an online space?
Yeah, short and sharp by necessity, really, is the answer to that. We made the decision in April that MIFF in its, I guess, regular cinema format couldn't go ahead for all of the obvious reasons, the sheer amount of uncertainty around August and the fact that, you know, we're part of an ecosystem in terms of films and festivals, and there was huge disruption already at that time in April. And you know, first and foremost, for public and health and safety concerns and responsibilities. So we had about 3 months to, I guess, completely rebuild the festival from the ground up, because, you know, it's not as simple as sort of facing in another direction, uploading your films and kind of hitting go. There's a lot of sensitivity in the space. There's a lot of prolonged negotiation, and there's a lot of uncertainty with the situation, which means films really don't have that clarity in terms of what they might want to do, where they want to play. It makes the situation a really kind of involved negotiation on film to film. And we're also building a digital streaming platform. So it's the kind of equivalent of planning the festival, but building the cinema at the same time. So a lot of complexity. But what we wanted to do is build something that was really, I guess, true to the personality of MIFF's programming and also audiences' expectations of it. And I'm really proud with where we've got to as a team in terms of MIFF 68 and a half. You know, it's not quite the 69th edition of the Melbourne International Film Festival, but it's something that I think is really special and hopefully positive for audiences on their couches looking for a bit of distraction and escapism at this time, and something that I think continues some really extraordinary cinema from across the world and here at home too.
Absolutely. And I mean, a big part of the culture of MIFF was the physical attendance of audience members, like gathering together, hearing their emotions, being able to instantly gauge their reactions to each film. However, this year, with people watching from the comfort of their own homes, how do you think this culture can be manifested?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great question. And yeah, it absolutely speaks to, you know, I think audience connection to MIFF in a regular year. It happens at the darkest, coldest time of winter, and you get people who, you know, take 3 weeks off work and queue in dank alleyways. And there's an incredible kind of camaraderie in that. So, you know, essentially this year is about meeting audiences where they are and being responsive and innovative and trying to find and foster that community and that connection sort of no matter what kind of form it needs to take this time around. I mean, I guess the great thing about this year is that, you know, all of Australia for the first time can attend MIFF. We're geo-blocked to Australia. So those 113 films are, you know, available for everyone across metropolitan or regional communities as well. You know, there are a whole lot of things that go around the films because, you know, a festival is about the films you show, but it's also about the spaces in between those films and what happens and how it kind of connects artists to audiences. So we've got some great virtual guests, some great Q&As. We've got some really interesting kind of activations. You might have seen our Chin Chin and Shandong kind of opening night or closing night banquets. There's a whole lot of things that you can do to really kind of set the mood at your place for hopefully a great viewing experience as well. You know, there's a full range of festival blockbusters and really fascinating films from right around the world. But we've also thought about, well, people are watching at home, they're watching on their couches. It's a particular situation. So how can we kind of lean in that direction to give them something that works at home as well? And so we've got stuff that is really kind of, I guess, traditionally bingeable. We've got Steve James's 4-hour City Surreal about the mayoral elections in Chicago. It's a 4-part episodic series, which is really extraordinary. Steve James being one of, you know, the all-time documentarians behind Hoop Dreams, those sorts of films. And then Women Make Film from Mark Cousins in collaboration with Tilda Swinton, as well as Jane Fonda and Tandy Newton, which goes for 14 hours. So if you're at home, if you are stuck on the couch, we have you sorted for bingeable content as well.
Amazing. Yeah, 14 hours. That's a real Ken Burns moment.
Oh, totally.
Well, speaking on content, as we started to jump into that there, what are some films you think we should be kind of looking out for as part of this year's event?
Yeah, definitely. So how the program works is about 90% of all the films are available on demand when you want to watch them right throughout our festival dates, which is 6th to 23rd of August. And then there's a select series of film called Program Spotlights. And they are essentially, our opening centerpiece and closing films, and our headline is equivalents from a recent year. So the big kind of top line tentpole films of the festival, and they are available at particular times, like session times, and they roll out every 2 or 3 days thereabouts, right across that festival period. So they have some of the biggest festival kind of titles right through there. We're opening the festival with Kelly Reichardt's First Cow, which might be very, very close to sold out at the moment, but really kind of beautiful frontier Pacific Northwest film, just gorgeous kind of tale of frontier friendship, almost a heist movie sort of in there as well. There's Wendy by Ben Zeitlin. So this is his kind of 8 years in the waiting follow-up to Beasts of the Southern Wild, and it's a really extraordinary film. It kind of very much confirms his gift for working with young actors. It's sort of a radical reimagining of the Peter Pan story from Wendy's perspective, very much filtered through that Beasts of the Southern Wild kind of singular vision. It's quite an extraordinary work. And we'll have director Mira Folks in conversation with Ben Zeitlin as part of that presentation as well. And then we've got Emma by Pablo Larraín as our closing night film. And this is it's a really kind of wonderful, very kind of singular title as well. And it stars Gael García Bernal with Mariano de Garalamo as well. It's set in the world of reggaeton dance. It's a husband and wife who are in this kind of abrasive domestic freefall after social services have removed their young son following an act of pyromania. And the whole film is colored with incredible dance and kind of sound and motion. And it's a really kind of visceral experience as well. I think that's an extraordinary film. I'd draw your audience's attention to something like Boys State as well. And for me, I can't imagine a world where this isn't a best documentary nominee at the Oscars next year. It's the work of Jesse Moss and Amanda McBain. Moss did a brilliant film called The Overnighters a few years back in 2014. And this is set at an Austin, Texas, I guess, almost political leadership conference. You can think of it as a political coming of age story, young kind of teenage men come into the center and basically go through the rigmarole of a faux election on this very kind of mass scale. It's very crowd pleasing. It's hilarious. It's got something in common with those tournament mode docs, kind of like a Spellbound or that sort of thing. But it's very kind of funny, very engaging. But it has some pretty terrifying things to say about the state of current politics and also some real topicality in terms of, you know, what is the potential now for us to speak across that political divide that seems more severe than ever? It won the Grand Jury Prize for Doc at Sundance when it launched there in January. And that's a film I'm thrilled to be presenting as part of the program. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Sounds like there's just so much good stuff there. Now, how exactly can we book tickets to access this digitally streamed event?
Yeah, sure. So all details, access to ticketing is going to be via our website, mif.com.au. So if you head there, there's the full range of films. You can purchase films individually. There's also bundles of films. So you can, you know, there's a 10-pack World Cinema, or there's three titles put together in different ways. So you can purchase bundles as well as individual films, depending on what you're interested in. And the other thing to say is that there's also a significant portion of films, and this is all of our shorts packages, as well as a couple of select features that are streaming for free as well. So there's free films there for people to access, and some really amazing titles within that as well. One important thing to note is that, just because it's on the internet, the capacity is not infinite. Films can sell out. There is limited capacity right through. So, you know, there's the first couple of films just starting to sell out. So if you're interested, I'd encourage listeners to jump on and check out what's available and probably buy now to avoid disappointment later.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Al, thank you so, so much for joining us on the show today. Sounds like such an amazing event.
Thanks. Well, I hope it gives everyone something positive to look forward to. And as I say, kind of distract themselves with at the very least during August. And, you know, we're thrilled that we can be here in any way, shape or form and continue what we do in the midst of the situation. So we're really proud of this event and this film lineup, and we hope that audiences will enjoy as well.
And you absolutely should be proud. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.